Well, we're in a series on the Holy Spirit, and I want to begin today by looking at just a verse from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is the promise that Jesus, these are the last words that Jesus spoke before he went to heaven. Important words. Verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." And after that, Jesus was taken up. He says, you know what? I'm going to give you power through the Holy Spirit. That was the promise. I'm going to give you power. The word power there is the word in the original language, dunamis. I'm going to give you dynamite. Not on your own strength. Not that you can do this yourself, but I'm going to give you power through the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And you know what happened? The church took that literally. The church took that promise and said, you know what? We need to take the gospel everywhere. The first century church believe that as being their mission to share the gospel. And they did it in such a powerful way that they literally turned the known world upside down. The known world knew who Christ was in one generation. There were missionaries that went out. There were people that were saved throughout Europe and throughout Asia Minor through the ministries of people like the Apostle Paul and the apostles as they went out. And the gospel spread, just like Jesus said. You see, as we said a couple weeks ago, Jesus went what? Up. And Jesus said, if he goes up, the Holy Spirit's going to what? Come down. And then he says, believers, you're supposed to do what? Go out. And that's what happened. Go be my witnesses. Now, last week, we talked about everybody is in one of three chairs. Everybody who's here. And some of you weren't here last week, so we're going to take it there, and then we're going to go to some other things today. But three chairs. And I use as my text 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 3, verse 3. Let me read you the text, see if you can spot them. Now, the natural man, that's this guy right here. The natural man. This is the guy that doesn't know God, doesn't know Christ. The Holy Spirit's not in his life. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You know what? People that are natural people, don't try to share with them the things of God because they don't understand them. They don't understand how the Holy Spirit works. They don't understand people that love Jesus. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. But look at the next one. The spiritual man, the man in the middle. But the spiritual man judges all things, yet he himself is not judged by no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the spiritual man, not like the man over here, the natural man does not understand the things of Christ. The spiritual man, the Bible says, that he has the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. He's in the middle chair. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual," he's talking about this man, "but as unto carnal," carnal, the third man. The word carnal literally means worldly. Everybody's in one of three chairs, the natural man, the spiritual man, or the carnal man. The carnal man, even unto babes in Christ, have to be fed with milk and yet with solid food, for to this time you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal, carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as a man?" Three chairs, we said last week. Natural man, doesn't understand the things of Christ. The spiritual man, he discerns the mind of Christ, and the carnal man, the worldly man. And I asked the question last week, which chair are you in? Which chair are you sitting in right now? The man who's in this chair, the natural man, what does he need? He needs to have Jesus come into his life. He needs to have Christ at the center of his life because he doesn't even know Christ. If you look at the picture, Christ is outside of his life. He's outside of the sphere of his life. And self is the one that's on the throne. The spiritual man, on the other hand, the spiritual man has Christ at the center of his life. And notice how all the things around seem to work better because Christ is at the center. And then there's the carnal man. The carnal man is a battle that's going on between self and Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to be there, and yet there's a battle that goes on. That's the natural, that's the worldly man. So the question is again, which chair are you in? Which chair are you in? And we said last week, it's very simple. If you're in this chair here and you want to be there, you need to confess your sins. You need to realize that you can have a relationship that's much deeper than what you're in right now. If you're over here, you need to receive Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Now, this week I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And this is the command that the Apostle Paul gives to us. He says this, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, I don't know if you know what it's like to be drunk. I don't. Some of you do. I've been to some AA meetings, and I stand up and say, my name is Jim, and I'm a sinner. They look at you like, because every one of them, when they go around the table, they say, my name is, and they say, I'm an alcoholic. And if that's one of your groups, that's great. And you need to go, and you need to realize that you have a problem. And I have the same problem, by the way. Mine's called sin. So, my name is Jim, and I'm a sinner. Say it with me. Now, you put your name in, all right? Here we go. My name is Jim, and I'm a sinner. Oh, okay. Now, we can all share. My name is Jim, and I'm a sinner. The text says, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. So many things happen when people are drunk. People do things they wouldn't otherwise do. They say things they wouldn't ever do, say. So he says, don't be drunk with wine, which is debauchery. Instead, here's what the Apostle Paul says. Here's the command. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And that's a command. It's a command for everyone who knows Christ as their Savior and as Lord. Now, I need to understand that when we come to salvation, the Bible talks about a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not water baptism. That's when we come into Christ, it's a commitment of our life to Him, and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a filling of the Spirit. It's interesting that the Bible does not give us a neat, simple formula for how to do that. It doesn't say you do A, B, C, and D, and you'll be filled with the Spirit for the rest of your life. It tells you things you shouldn't do. It says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. It says that you can do all kinds of things. If you allow sin to come into your life, the Bible says that God doesn't even hear you. I think the first century church understood this idea of walking daily with the Lord. You think about it, Jesus was with them until he went to heaven. He had his apostles and his disciples that had seen the risen Lord. I think they understood that kind of a life of daily walking with the Spirit of God was the natural, normal way to live. Jesus had sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And from that time on, the Holy Spirit has lived in believers' lives. He's with us today. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, that Jesus is here, the Holy Spirit is here. So that means we can have the Holy Spirit through salvation. But the filling of the Spirit is that constant filling. In the New Testament, it says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want us to look at three words that are going to help us to understand that. The first word, if you're writing it in your bulletin, it's the word understand. That's the first step, being understanding how the Holy Spirit works. Understand. Now, there are certain things that you need to understand. You need to understand about this book. This book is the book that we follow. It is the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God and the Spirit of God to come into our lives to make us the people of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God and the Spirit of God to make us the people of God. Would you say that with me, please? It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God that comes into our lives that makes us the people of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, or if you don't have the Word of God, the Word of God is so important. It's important for you to understand and to know God's Word. By the way, that's why we put such an emphasis on knowing the Word of God. That's why we preach from the Word of God. That's why we have Sunday school hour before we have adult classes, and we have a great children's ministry that goes on, so we can learn the Word of God. We have ladies' Bible studies that are going on. We have men's Bible studies that are going on. We have small groups, and in our small groups, we study the Bible. That's because we want people to know what God's Word says, because the Spirit of God and the Word of God are the things that come together in our lives to make us the people of God. If you want to be Spirit-filled, you need to understand the Word of God, that it is truth. The Bible says about itself that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't know about you, but I have stubbed my toe more times in a dark room. If only I would have had just a little light. We have some little night lights around our house, and that's because I've stubbed my toe. And the Bible says that God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That way, he gives me direction, Spirit of God and the Word of God. But you have to have both. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. Understanding God's Word. That great command to be filled with the Spirit. Not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Starts with a knowledge of the Bible. Understanding that God has revealed himself in his Holy Word. I want to challenge you. If you want to be really walk with God, Spirit-filled life, you need to be in God's Word. How many times a day do you eat? How many of you eat once a week? All of us. Right? How many of you eat once a day? All of us. How many of you eat three times a day? Most of you. Some of you eat more than that. You know what? You have to eat in order to be healthy. And that's what I'm saying about God's Word. You need to eat, understand, get into God's Word, and the Holy Spirit uses it. It describes God's Word like a gift, the Holy Spirit like a gift, the gift that he gives us. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says this, if you then, though you are evil, that means your heart is evil like all of us are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? So what's the block? What's the big block that hinders us from being filled with the Holy Spirit constantly? I think one of the big ones is sin. What happens when we think the thoughts that God doesn't want us to think? What happens when we do things that we know are not pleasing to God? Is God still in our life? Yeah. But the Bible says that there's a hindrance. There's a block in the power of God in our lives. There's a block. There's something that's going on. Often what happens is that we begin to think highly of ourselves, and so pride becomes a big barrier. I think pride is one of the biggest stumbling blocks for people. So what's the answer if sin is a block? The Bible talks about two things. It talks about confession, and it talks about repentance. Confession is simply this. You are agreeing with God that what you're doing is wrong. You are saying, God, I realize, you know, if you're over here in this chair and there's sin, known sin in your life, the Holy Spirit is hindered in your life. In order to get into this chair, the first thing you need to do is you need to confess your sin. The Bible says this, if we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and he's going to forgive your sin. But the second step isn't just confession, but it's repentance. in this chair where you can confess your sin all day long, but if you really want to move to this chair, you have to repent of your sin. Now, repentance is a pretty clear thing. You know, you're walking this way, and you're doing these things, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. But then repentance is when you do this, about face, and you turn to go the other direction. That's what repentance is. Repentance. And so you begin to walk towards God. The Holy Spirit comes back into your life, and you are filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life. Confession is going the opposite direction. So what's the answer if you want to move from there to there? Understand. Understand what the Bible says. Come to the knowledge that what you're doing isn't what God wants you to do. Confess that, and then repentance. Turning around and going the other way. You see, the Bible points out our sin, and then it's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin through God's Word. Let me say that again. The Bible points out our sin, and then it's the Holy Spirit who convicts us through God's Word. And then it's up to us. What are you going to do about it? If you want to continue to live the old way, Spirit of God, you're still over here. You're still in the carnal seat. But if you really want to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you need to confess your sin and repent of it. Well, the second step to be filled with the Spirit, and the second key word, is the word submission. Submission. Romans chapter 6 gives us a little picture of that. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin. In other words, stop doing those things as instruments of wickedness, but rather you submit yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Offer, again, that word. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. You see what submission really is? It's the voluntary surrender of your life. I learned submission. How many of you were in the service? Ken, you were in the Army? Right? You learn some submission in the Army? You say, yes, sir. Who else? Dan, you were a police officer. Did you learn some submission in the... Yeah. You said, yes, chief. Yeah. You know what? If you've ever been in the service, Randy, you were in the Navy. Remember those days? Yes, captain. Aye, aye. Yeah. You learn something that submission is when you sub means what? Under. Under the mission. If the mission for believers is the Great Commission to go make disciples, then we place ourselves under the mission. In the Army, if the goal is to take that hill, and you say, well, I got a great plan. I'll tell you what, I've got the plan. Everybody else has their own plan. The mission is not going to be accomplished. The second key word is the word submission. To have a Holy Spirit fill your life. Submission. And the text tells us to offer yourselves. You voluntarily offer yourselves. What that really means is that you renounce your own way. You renounce the way that you want to live. And you say, no, I want God, I want you to live through me. I want you to live through me. It means that you allow Christ to become the Lord of all of your life. Second word, submission. All of your life. Who's in charge of the direction of your life? Is it you? Or are you saying, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want you to use me. This next week, Harvest America. What a great opportunity for people in our church and in our community to find out about Christ. What's the mission? Reaching people. What part does God want you to have? Ken's already shared those things with us. To invite and to go. But it's a change in direction in your life. If you've been guilty of evil thoughts, what God is really saying is renounce those evil thoughts. If you've been doing things that are wrong, you need to ask God to forgive you those things. Repent those things. Change directions. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict those things in your life. If you've been guilty of any kind of sin, habitual sin, ask God to help you. And then determine by God's grace to fill your mind and your heart with the things that are going to help you to grow. to move from this chair to this chair. Those things are so important. That second word, submission. You ready for the third one? Here it is. Third one is, you need to learn to walk. And last week we talked about that word walking, one step at a time. But you know what? It really is, here's the other part I want to add to this, it is a walk of faith. I'd like to know where I'm going, Lord. The Lord says, you just keep walking and I'll take you there. I'd like to know where I'm going, Lord. The Lord says, no, you walk by faith. You don't walk by sight. You keep walking by faith. And I'll take you to where I want you to be. Lord, you don't get it. You mean to move from here to here? I've got to walk by faith? Yes, you do. Faith is the essence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. He wants us to walk by faith. Faith. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18, says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, that's by faith, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the Spirit, desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. That's the battle that goes on between these two chairs. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Led by the Spirit. That means you follow by faith. You keep walking by faith. I like maps. I like to know where I'm going. We have, my wife will set her GPS. I'll set my GPS, which is up here. And then there's one spot as we're going toward our son's house up in Connecticut. And it's so tricky because you come off this, you have to be in this middle lane, and you have to swing to the left, and you have to get immediately to the right. And so her GPS says one thing, mine says another. And you know what? We have to say to ourselves, oh, no, we're going to follow the signs. We're going to do. And so as I swing from the Hutchinson onto the Merritt, and we go off this way, and I say to my wife, we made it again. You know what? You continue to walk. You continue to do it, and you do it by faith. We do it one step at a time. We are now walking by faith. In order to move from this chair, you have to walk by faith. You don't know what's going to happen today. By the way, I don't either. I was talking to Fred. Fred had a mini stroke. Boom, happened like that. He says, I was so out of it. You know what? You'll walk by faith. You don't walk by sight. He's doing fine, and we're grateful for that. But being filled with the Spirit, now as we live in light of the truth of God's Word, it's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that comes together. And we continue to walk faithfully. That's how to move from this chair to this chair. And that's what God wants for each of us. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. And you know what? He wants us to every day walk in the Spirit. Every day. Every moment. And he wants us to do that. But it's a process. And it's a process that we walk by faith every day. But we must surrender ourselves to him. Every day. Allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. In every situation, in every conflict, in everything, God's trying to teach us something. Going back to our text, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, be filled with the Spirit. And the idea is that we should keep on being filled by the Spirit. And as I said, it's a process each day, each hour, each minute. So we need to understand, and we need to have submission. And we need to walk by the Spirit. But being obedient really means saying yes to God, moving from here to here. If you're in this chair, you know what? You need salvation. You need to come to know Christ as your Savior. If you're in this chair, you need to yield your body to Christ. Yield your mind and everything in you. Walk by faith. So my question, again this week is, what chair are you sitting in? What chair are you in? Three chairs. Three chairs. There's the natural person, spiritually dead, the carnal person, where Christ is not at the center of their life. And there's the spiritual person, where Jesus is at the center. I think it really comes down to those three words, understanding, submission, and walking by faith.